We're here again with Tim Bangle, who is the director of Arsenic and Old Lace. And from the cast, we have Kate McAllister and Eric Bond. Arsenic and Old Lace, a play from, I think, the early 1940s. A 1941. Classic farce. And you may know the motion picture starring Cary Grant. That's, I think, where I was introduced to it. I have never seen the play. So where do we want to begin here? How about starting with the details? Where is it and when is it? Who wants to answer that? Tim?
Sure. We open actually next Friday, the 24th. We have a evening show, 7 p.m. on the 24th and 25th. We do a matinee on the 26th at 2 p.m. And then we have another evening show on Halloween and November 1st. And then November 2nd is our closing show with the matinee at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And this is at the Panada.
It is at the Panada, right down the street.
And the play, Arsenic and Old Lace, I described it as a classic farce. Is that about right? It's a comedy.
It's a dark comedy about some ants who want to do some charitable work around their community by easing the suffering of some lonely old men.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very relatable to most people because it's about family dysfunction, really.
Yeah.
Like, at its core, it's just dysfunctional families, and we're all a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Things as usual.
Yeah, business as usual, but in a different lens, and it's a lot of wacky lenses involved.
So, Tim, what are the challenges with this play?
For me, the challenge was how do you take something that's been done and is very well loved and make it fresh? I didn't pick this show. I was asked to do this show for Kate and for Dorothy. And when I read the script, it's funny. It's a hysterical script. It's very witty and very fast paced. And I started to look at it from the lens or through the lens of what if they're all just crazy? What if they're all kind of living in an insane asylum kind of approach? And so we've kind of aesthetically built in aspects of an asylum throughout the house. It doesn't look like a normal house. It's got, you know, bits and pieces of a normal house, but we've got padded walls and different laboratory equipment built into the props. And we're also doing it in black and white.
How does one do a play in black and white?
Yeah. Well, all of the costumes and the set are in various shades of gray. We went through some contrast testing early on in our production design meetings. And so it's mostly various three different shades of gray. And then we add black and white as kind of the accents and shadow work. But we've incorporated three characters that are color. Hmm. And that color kind of plays into the men that the women want to have try their wine. the men that they think they can offer this charitable work to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's visually, it's going to be a very interesting set.
It is a dark, there is some dark darkness to the humor. Is it, you got a recommended age range? For your audience, of course.
Yeah. My 6-year-old wants to see it, and I said, "Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Not yet. It's not terrible, but there it does get creepy if you get creeped out. But it's not over the top.
Well, hey, it's going to be shown on Halloween. I mean, done on Halloween. What the hey? No, I think you're probably right to bring children with caution.
How's I think that? Teenagers and maybe nobody ever. Younger than 10,
yeah,
maybe 11.
That's a good baseline, I would say.
I mean, there's no cussing in it. There's no blood and guts, but it does get kind of dark.
Okay. Kate, tell us about your character, Abby. What do we need to know, or what can you tell us ahead of time? A fun character to be playing?
It really is a fun character, and I'm not sure where I see the darkness, but that's all right. Maybe I played a serial killer too long. I don't know. Between Misery and this.
Yeah. That's right. You, yeah. You're a pro at this.
I know, right? Well, and the, you know, the one thing about serial killers is they don't think they're doing anything wrong. I mean, the sisters say, you know, it's one of our charities, these lonely old men. They, you know, because one accidentally dies of a heart attack, and he looked so peaceful, and they think they could lead other gentlemen all alone in the world to find that same peace. And so somebody said to me once, how are you going to market that? I'm like, two old lady serial killers who, it's funny. It is so funny. I think we're going to have to really be careful of pausing for laughter. I mean, after the all these months timing, of doing it, timing. we still crack up. It's Tim almost fell on the floor at the last rehearsal because he was laughing so hard. So it's really, you know, but we're very sweet. The Brewster sisters are, and everybody in town loves us. We do very, you know, we take soup to the sick. We donate toys. And so when people say that, you know, there's 13 bodies in the cellar, people are like, no way. These sweet little old ladies, we're very transparent. Because someone says, they said there's 13 bodies in your cellar. And I say, well, there are 13 bodies in the cellar. And everybody just Nobody believes it, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hilarious. And the play came before the movie. And I think with the genius of the black and white, it's going to be almost like watching the black and white movie. I think. So it's really, Tim has a great flair for artisticness in the theater. Like, you know, the Christmas Carol was fabulous and, so, yeah,
Who plays your sister?
Dorothy Prophet.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we've wanted to play it for years, and now we're old enough because the Brewster sisters are all in their mid to late 60s, or both of them are, and that's where we are.
So is this your first time playing the play?
Yes. Well, because I wanted to wait till I was old enough.
Ah.
Because we're aging out, really. So there's not a lot of parts for old ladies.
You're really not performing.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
And Eric, how about your character?
All right, yeah, Mortimer Brewster, yeah. It's actually a lot of fun because it's kind of a follow-up with this frantic energy I got to do last year with Sherlock on the Panda stage. And Mortimer Brewster, he's your everyday guy. He's just this cool guy. He's loving life. He's doing his thing. And I don't want to ruin the show, but there's a little romance in the show, you know? It might be dark, it might be loony, but you might see some romance flying. Who knows? But Mortimer just comes in having one of his best days, and then things change very quickly. And it's just so fun to be able to be frantic and wacky and try to be the straight man in the midst of absolute family chaos. I've enjoyed this role more than any I've done in a very long time.
So there's a lot of laughs in the play.
We hope. But yes, there are some really funny lines and funny moments, especially once things get into kind of once the energy starts going wild, there's some crazy wacky moments that, and thanks to the direction of Tim here, we have some really good moments that happen, and I can't wait for the audience to see it. And so that's another thing about, you know, I challenge the folks listening, don't watch the movie, if you don't know anything about the show, come to the show completely blank slate. Because you get to see those moments happen live, mm-hmm, we'd love to hear those, like, oohs and ahs and ooh, what? You know.
Now, as performers, how do you rehearse not knowing what lines should get laughs, but you don't know how long the laughs will be? And so how do you work with, is that on the spot, on the stage, unfolding? Is that a challenge?
Yeah. I mean, we get a little bit from, you know, we have Tim watching us during rehearsals.
I don't hold back at all. I laugh all the time.
He gets, okay. So we have to hear these little nuggets. But it really will come down. I mean, every night's different. The audience energy is different every single show. But mm-hmm. You get some consistency, and you usually find that the first night. Because the first night is usually the highest energy. And depending on how much wine they've had, speaking of wine, yeah, you really get, you have to play it by ear, and it just takes, it's a learning curve. And by the end of the show, it's like clockwork, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it seems as though, in my opinion, Saturday night is the more, people who are used to going to the theater. So there's not as many laughs because they're listening. They're listening intently to the content.
Okay.
And so it's very interesting Saturday night. But everybody will laugh. And so you just learn, it's sort of intuitive because, you know, we have to remain very stoic in our characters.
Sure, and you say can't this, break character.
You know, but if people start laughing really hard, it's like you just pause for a minute, like almost freeze, you know, not too long, and then continue on. So it becomes pretty intuitive because there are so many really fun little lines in here that if we don't want people to miss those lines because some of them are pivotal to the story. So
No, yeah. Are you individually mic'd?
They will be, yes, for the show.
Okay, that's important. You know, yeah. That if you want the audience to respond, they need to hear the lines and make sure that they're heard clearly.
Well, I'm sure you know I have no problem projecting. My mic is turned down low.
I've heard that, Kate.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anything else we should say about the, I guess, the plot of it? Have we set the stage pretty well? I think so.
Yeah, I think you so. Could,
okay. It's basically you're the straight man, Eric. And you have to go, what? You have to go to visit your family or something like that.
It's a typical day, mm-hmm. just going to see my aunts, just, you know, and then going to see Elaine, my love.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when a wrench of epic proportional size gets thrown into your lap instantly?
Mm-hmm.
And watching that moment unfold is kind of beautiful. At least I hope so.
Yeah. Let's see. I know I saw the film totally by chance. I only saw part of it, but I thought it was hilarious. And this was years ago, you know, found it on one of the old classic movie networks.
TCM.
Yeah. And I had no idea what I was watching. I'd never heard of it and I was, yeah, kind of scandalized by, I didn't know they could be this funny and this dark in the 1940s. You know, I think it was, yeah, I think I caught kind of the second half of it, and I was hooked as soon as I saw, yeah, Cary Grant. He was in a precarious situation, I guess. I said, well, I better see how this goes, and then I, yeah.
And it's worth noting that it's not just, you know, Mortimer Brewster. There mm-hmm. are some characters that come in and keep coming in that are just, make it just, the comedy aspect and the wild card, like, what is happening? It just keeps going. It just keeps building and building because of these wacky characters that keep coming in. So that's definitely worth noting is it's not just a Mortimer. It's a lot of characters that just sprinkle in this wonderful.
There's not a sane person in the bunch. They're all very interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
Good word. In real life too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Should we take a short musical
sure.
break?
Let's do that. Let's remind mm-hmm. the listeners, Panetta Theater, Arsenic and Old Lace, October 24th, 25th, and 26th. The 26th is a matinee at 2 o'clock. The other evenings at 7 o'clock, and then a repeat on October 31st, which is a Friday, and then November 1st and 2nd, and the Sunday is a matinee as well. Let's take a break, and I'd like to come back and talk with Kate about part of the selection process, you know, why, you know, this as opposed to something else. It's October. Yesterday was, I don't know if October had Nides. I'd have to check my calendar. But in honor of October, here's James Taylor with October Road. October Road, James Taylor, and we're in the studio here with Kate, Tim, and Eric. Arsenic and Old Lace coming to the Panetta Theater next weekend and the following weekend. What more would you like the listeners to know about the play in terms of, is there a lot of movement in the play, action, that sort of thing?
Yeah, one of the more challenging pieces for me as the director was to find the momentum through the actors' movements on stage. And Eric naturally has this kind of high energy
frantic,
pace,
as I said.
Frantic energy about him, just as he moves and talks and walks in normal life. And so there's some scenes where I have him bouncing all over the stage, going from one place to get one character and bouncing to the other side of the stage, all in like really short, rapid bursts. And it's so funny to watch. And I think the first time we ran some of those scenes, he was out of breath.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the first time we did the block, just the blocking. And then we like, let's take it from A to B. Let's start over. By the time we finished that set of blocking, I was sweating. And I was like out of breath. Mm-hmm, I was like, this is, I got to start working out again. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, but it's so fun to watch. And it's so engaging for me as the director, but also as somebody who's going to watch it once we open it next week, to see that kind of passion in him to propel this character. It's so effortlessly to interact with all the different characters that are trying to, they're like, what's going on? Like, none of them really understand or really care about what's going on around them other than Mortimer. He's the one that's kind of freaking out. We need to solve this problem. And everybody's like, meh, whatever.
Now, where are you in the progress of putting it on the stage? Or where are you in terms of rehearsing? Have you done dress rehearsals? Have you done, are you still sitting around in a circle reading the parts? Or, Kate is frowning over there, shaking her head. No, where are you now in the process of getting it on the stage?
We have our final full run through outside of the theater tonight. We have another kind of scheduled rehearsal tomorrow or Saturday. And then we just start doing runs. We do our first tech run on Monday, and then we add microphones and costumes.
When do you take over the Panada? I mean, I know Friday night is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
We move in Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
We'll start building the set.
Let's hope the theater is clean by then.
I've already been told it wasn't going to be until Monday. So we'll just be working on the stage. We don't need much of the house.
I can bring my leaf blower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring a bucket.
We've talked about Kate McAllister is one of the Brewster sisters.
Eric Abby
is Mortimer, and Dorothy Prophet plays the other
sister Martha.
Who else is in the play? Who else is what other members of the cast can we mention here? Don't forget anybody.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, like I said, there's the love of my life, Elaine, played by Toby Jensen. And this is her first foray on the theater, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Since high school, she's never done anything on the Panada.
Yeah.
So she was
she's been great. If this is her first, and it's going to be great after this. So, Elaine, and then do you want to talk about the brothers?
The other brothers, yeah.
We have Teddy, one of my brothers, and then we have Jonathan, the other brother. And I don't want to give away who they are because I want you to come see what they both bring to the family.
Special guests?
Well, we can mention who plays them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Steve Hammond plays Teddy, and Corey Repass plays Jonathan.
Oh, perfect.
And this is a villain character for Corey. Uh-huh. I mean, he kind of dabbled in it a little bit last year with Scrooge, but this character's just
next level.
I saw Corey at Sandemonium, and he was not wearing his customary beard.
Yeah.
Did he shave for the role?
Correct.
Wow. I hadn't seen him clean shaven before.
Boy, that's a sacrifice.
I know.
And he cut his hair.
Yeah.
His hair is his safety blanket.
Yeah.
And he does it. He sacrifices for the good of the theater, and we appreciate that, Corey, if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, he looked great, but he didn't look like I was used to seeing. I didn't recognize him at first.
Yeah.
So a stacked cast, a stellar cast.
And then we have Dr. Einstein, played by a young Cody.
Cody Bost. He was in Christmas Carol. He's in this next film project that hasn't been released yet. Angel Rogers, who was in Christmas Carol. She played Christmas Present. Nikki Luttman, who was in Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
She plays one of the cops. Michael Richardson plays one of the other cops. He's done some shows, but it's been a while since we've seen him on stage.
Terry Owens,
Andrew Sorg.
Yeah, it's a big cast in the end. There's a lot of things that go on. So
Alex Jones plays a creepy old man. I love his character. It's such a small part, but he nails it.
Yeah.
KRFY's Terry Owens deserves a shout out. You can listen to him on Monday nights at 9 o'clock for The Beast and the Priest. The show is a presentation of the Lake Pendre Repertory Theater Company. What does that mean? How about that? What does it mean to be a presentation of LPO Rep?
Well, LPO Rep is a nonprofit. We are a theater group. We actually, the founders are Keely Gray, myself, and Andrew Sorg, because we wanted to keep theater going, and we started to gain traction, so we got our nonprofit, but we started it in 2019, so it took a little pause for a little while, and now we've come back strong. We have a great board of directors. We won't do a show unless it's really up to speed, because the greatest thing to hear after one of our performances, any show, is, wow, I thought this was so professional. After Patsy, people asked, is this a traveling troupe? So we've come to expect of ourselves, and, you know, Tim also he's such a great director, in the fact that everything is very well done. It's very professional. If it's, you know, if there's the slightest hitch, which I will take all the responsibility for in Patsy, I caught pneumonia. So we had it scheduled for earlier, and I couldn't do it. We tried, and then it just wasn't up to par. It was not what we expect of ourselves. And so then we waited and presented it, and it was amazing. And so LPO Rep is, you know, we're working very hard. I'll let Tim speak to, he's our artistic director for the company. Let him speak to what's coming up in the future, the things that we're doing. And so we're meeting, we're putting shows together, we're really trying to make it more of a professional theater, above board, and we want to keep it going. Keely moved to Spokane, and we got together as a board and said, no, we got to keep it going, because we're gaining traction on our audiences. People love live performances, and so I'm very proud to be a part of it, and, you know, the bevy of actors that we have are just incredible. You know, like in this show, some of the ones that we've all been together for so long. And it's very interesting when you act sort of like best in show, right? You get a certain group of people. It's nice that it's expanding, and we can see all these amazing, like, auditions. We have people come out of the woodwork now that we're like, I've never seen that person before. And they're amazing. Or young people like Cody and Alex. They're just phenomenal. And so we want to expand and grow and, you know, do different things. We do the youth camp, the theater youth camp, we collaborate with the Panada, and we do that in the summer, and that's been very successful. And so we have some really good ideas coming up, but, you know, it's a matter of, okay, we gotta make money, and we gotta how much money do we have to put on a show? And so, yeah, so if anybody would like to donate to LPO Rep, you can go to lporep.com, and we have a donate button, or please come support the theater. I mean, you know, all arts need patrons, and live performing arts is no exception. We do need patrons if you love theater. If you want to be an underwriter or, you know, help give some money towards producing, we'll put you on the poster, we'll give you a big kiss, whatever you need.
One more time, the website where one can donate?
lporep.com.
Excellent. Now, I want to go back. Corey sacrificed his beard for this. Do I dare ask, did Terry Owens send him?
No, we tried.
Oh, thank goodness.
Terry plays
he's done that before.
I know he has.
Yeah.
Terry plays a priest or a reverend in the show, and he found a way to tuck it underneath his costume to make it look like it's trimmed and more reverend-like without sacrificing the length.
So what's in the future after Arsenic and Old Lace? What are we looking ahead to? Have decisions been made, or what are you thinking of?
Yeah, so, you know, this summer I took on the role of artistic director and kind of, we had Arsenic planned for this year. We had Patsy planned for this year, but we kind of had to pivot. We had some different shows scheduled for next year. And once we started looking at budgets and stuff, we needed to change our show structure. So next year, right after Arsenic, I go into pre-production for Midsummer Night's Dream, which will be next spring. And it'll be our first journey into Shakespeare for LPO Rep. And then later next fall, we do Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Ooh, good choice.
that'll be Steve Heyman's first directorial debut for theater. Well, in a while, at least for LPO, it's his first stab at directing. And after that, we haven't really given much thought. We're kind of taking it one year at a time right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I before this year, I had a five-year plan on shows that I wanted to do. Arsenic was actually originally in the 2027 slot for me. But Kate,
but I said I might be dead.
Kate was a little concerned about her aging. Uh-huh. So it's we're just taking it year by year. Sometime next year we'll start looking at what we want to do for 2027.
But at this point, about two, you're aiming for about two per year.
Two big shows a year. What we've also done this year is branched off into improv. Corey,
right?
Corey has started an improv troupe. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple shows lined up for the rest of this year. We're doing a high performance January 2nd. Mm-hmm. I've sat down with Nikki Barato and Corey Repass a couple weeks ago, and we kind of outlined all the different or talked about the different community events that happen throughout the spring, summer, and fall to see where we can start plugging ourselves into different community projects like Lost in the 50s, 4th of July Parade, mm-hmm. Renaissance Fair, different things that we can find ways to embed ourselves in the community more, not just keep it on stage. So we're trying to be a little more strategic with that. Yeah.
And if you need a singing telegram, I'm sure somebody would do it for money. Oh. And if you would like a singing telegram, I'm sure if you donated money to us, we'd be happy to do that.
We'll send Kate.
I'll go. For money, I'll go. You know I'm a fundraiser.
Big bow on your head.
Okay, one more time. Arsenic and Old Lace at the Panada Theater. A week from tomorrow, October 24th, 25th, and 26th. The 24th and 25th, 7 o'clock in the evening. 26th is a matinee at 2. And then the next weekend, October 31st, that's a Friday, and then Saturday the 1st and Sunday the 2nd. Sunday the 2nd is a matinee. Anything in conclusion before we send you out into the fog?
Oh, speaking of fog. Yeah, again, like I said, come in clean, come in with a blank slate, come see the show. It's going to be great. Get ready to witness some fun and some spookiness.
Where does one get tickets? Oh!
LPOrep.com. LPOrep.com, or I think the Panada also has a link to our website.
Perfect. So yeah. So if you go like to the Panada.org, you can follow the links.
Right. And we'll have tickets at the door as well. You can get your tickets.
And if you want to wear costumes for Halloween, you can wear costumes.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a great Halloween thing to come and see and laugh and yeah.
Well, all we can say here at KRFY is break numerous legs. And thank you guys so much for coming on. And we'll count on, you know, with Midsummer Night's Dream and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern that you'll be knocking on our door, letting us know.
Of course.
We'd love to have you guys back on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we have another October song before we go into upcoming events. Diane Shore, When October Goes. Diane Shore, When October Goes. And want to remind you one more time again, Arsenic and Old Lace at the Panada Theater next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, October 24th and 25th, the Friday is Saturday at 7 o'clock, and the 26th is a matinee at 2. And then the next weekend, Halloween, October 31st on a Friday at 7 o'clock, and then November 1st on a Saturday, and then another matinee, so on the 2nd. So you have two weekends in which to catch, and or maybe go the first weekend and take your friends to the second weekend.
Diane Shore, we did talk to you once.
Yes, it up. Yeah. You reminded me that we had. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten that.
When she was in town just a few years ago.
I think POAC.
Yeah.
POAC brought her.
That could be. That was neat. Well, here we are. Our friends at the Panada Theater remind us that not only can you go and see the Arsenic and Old Lace, but actually tonight is the... Hold on.
The annual membership meeting.
Tonight is the meeting at 6 o'clock. And that's in the big one, the big theater. And check that out for an update on what's going on at the Panada from the board and the staff. And tomorrow night, the performance or the show and a performance is Finding Lucinda. This is a documentary film about Lucinda Williams, but it is also a musical performance, a live performance from Ismay, the artist who is in the film, and a Q&A after the film. An intimate and revealing look into a young songwriter's search for their creative path by looking toward the early life and legacy of Lucinda Williams. And it follows Ismay, singer-songwriter Avery Hellman, an aspiring artist in search of inspiration for their own artistic journey. And she embarks on a road trip across the southern United States, delving into the people and places that shaped Lucinda Williams's early career. And then you can actually catch the artist, not Lucinda, but Ismay, on stage at the Panada Theater. The show is tomorrow night. The doors open at 6 p.m. and the show is at 7 o'clock p.m. And then a Q&A with the artist as well. And on Saturday, it's the 50th anniversary.
Doing the time warp.
Yes, the 50th anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is a film with live audience participation. It is, I believe it's a hosted event. There will be, it won't just be the movie. There will be, there will be some folks there on presenting the film in costume. And you are, of course, encouraged to come in costume yourself and do all the things. Have you seen the movie, Jim? And how many times, if so?
Numerous times. And it's a great audience participation movie. And one of the interesting aspects of it, the people perform the movie while the movie's going on. In some of the performances I've seen. And it was a flop when it first came out in 1975. And it was all on when movie theaters would have a Friday night, midnight showing of a movie, and that just developed as a cult classic. And Susan Sarandon is in it. She plays Janet. And you have Tim Curry playing Dr. Frankenfurter. Just great songs, too.
Yeah. I know who are the two hosts this year? I can't remember, but some local local characters. I think I know, but I don't want to say out loud in case I'm wrong. Will be hosting the program, and it should be great fun.
If you've never experienced it, just simply go and just go with the flow. The message of the movie is don't dream it, be it.
And let's see here. What else is going on?
Well, isn't there the Little Live Radio Hour on next Tuesday at the Panada?
Why, Jim, you're right.
I'm like, golly.
KRFY's own Little Live Radio Hour. It's our last one of this year.
Ooh.
And so it's a doozy. We got Justin Landis as our musical guest, perhaps joined by some friends and collaborators. And we'll probably have some little some form of radio drama entertainment when the name or when they mentioned the LPO rep improv troupe. I thought we've incorporated them.
Ooh.
Some of them before. So I don't know exactly what it'll be. Something probably Halloween themed, but maybe just fall.
Gotta be there.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in to 88.5 and listen. However you're listening right now, you can listen then.
Or go down in person.
It's fun when you come in person. It's
Little Theater.
The Panada Little Theater, that's right. And 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, Tuesday, October 21st. Yeah, tune in and join us, or come on down and join us in person for a
and it's free.
Fun time. Yeah, it doesn't cost a thing. The Panada is there staffing the concession booth with, you know, beer and wine. So you can kind of, you can make an evening of it. It is open to all ages and yeah, doesn't cost a thing. Let's talk about what else is going on this weekend. I made an error last week and said it was Apple Fest, last week. I was wrong. It's Apple Fest this week.
Right.
That's going on. It is... downtown Sandpoint's annual Apple Fest, the fifth annual Apple Fest. Apple-themed activities, treats, and shopping deals at 40 participating retailers and restaurants. Pick up a passport, visit one shop in each downtown quadrant, and submit it by 6 p.m. for a chance to win $1,000 in gift cards and two ZZ Ward concert tickets. Okay.
And I cannot emphasize enough... support locally, that it's a great way because your money essentially stays in the community.
Yeah.
In these times, it's very important. Small businesses are having a rough go, and so support them, and they'll support you back.
Downtown manager Leilani Williams from the Sandpoint Downtown Shopping District had a nice quote. That's about this event. Come downtown. All the tourists are gone. It's our town again. Let's come and make memories together. Yes. It's
you got to admit the shoulder seasons, you know, where the it's almost like we can reclaim the town and we can walk on the sidewalks. You know, not to be critical of the tourists or whatever, because Lord knows they do bring a lot, primarily economically, and but it's sort of nice to reclaim
it. It is, yeah. Not so many strangers in town these days. It's also Harvest Fest for the Sandpoint Farmers Market this weekend. That means it's the last farmers market. Closing day is Saturday, October 18th. Entertainment, food booths, activities, displays. And regardless of rain, sleet, snow, or sunshine, and it looks like at least Saturday morning when the event is going on, they should be in luck. Should be a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The extended hours for this particular farmer's market from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., celebrating the culmination of another wonderful growing season.
Speaking of a growing season, how was your growing?
It was wonderful. We had a great crop of tomatoes, and then I think right at the end of the season when we had been enjoying them all throughout, but we still had a lot of tomatoes on the bush that we were getting ready to harvest and pull in and, you know, make sauce or bring to the food bank or do something productive with, and we had a break-in.
What?
A deer. Broke through the fence around the garden and ate all the remaining tomatoes. Cleaned us out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's got to be.
Tragedy.
Not deer.
Yeah.
I can understand raccoons.
Well, I guess, but I don't know what it, we didn't see it. We don't have a game cam or anything like that, but we did see, we saw where the fence was just flapping open and all the tomatoes were gone. I always assumed deer because that's the animal that we see most often.
But, right. Well, one thing I do want to say is that if you still have produce, let's say zucchini or whatever like this, and maybe fruit on your fruit trees, don't forget the food bank. You know, that they're certainly love local. I have a friend on Coburn Culver. He just donated 8 dozens of eggs to the food bank. His chickens are producing.
Well, that must be nice.
Yeah, and generous.
The longstanding tradition of the Harvest Fest at the farmers market is that they host a food drive for the Bonner County Community Food Bank, and this year is no exception. So you can bring a donation to the food bank and receive a raffle ticket to win a market gift basket at Harvest Fest this weekend.
Cool, cool, cool.
Must be present to win that gift basket. We already mentioned, of course, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. What else have we? Coming up here? Well, we only have about a minute left of the program, Jim.
Okay.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
No new folk show tonight.
No new folk show. It'll be a repeat. You know, I do not have my feet on the ground. I did pick up some CDs, a couple of Joan Baez in concert from like 1972 and that sort of thing. And so I'll be integrating them in, and I did make a stop at Amoeba Music, not only in San Francisco, but I also scooted across to one of my favorite places to scoot to, over to Berkeley. And I hit 5 bookstores and 2 record shops, Rasputin Music and Amoeba Music on Telegraph Avenue. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I love San Francisco. I love the area, but I love coming back to Sandpoint. Different rhythms and different ways to be.
What a whirlwind. You were very busy over there.
Well, what's amazing, amazing is that I can hop on a plane and within 2 hours see the Golden Gate Bridge out my window. You know, that in less than 2 hours. And, you know, talk about when I left on Tuesday, I look around the mission and that sort of thing, the district, and I go, geez, and I'm going to go to bed tonight in a quiet community without all of the street noise and whatever. And, you know, I mean, it just blows me away that I can go from one environment to another within a short time period.
2 hours from here.
Yeah,
a two-hour flight.
Yeah. Well, we go into the Oakland airport because the BART, you can just hop on. There's a shuttle from the airport that takes you to the BART system, and boom, you're off and going.
Yeah. That is a very quick turnaround. I've never flown from here to San Francisco. I didn't know how fast it was. Now I'll put it on the list. let me mention, so tonight, a rerun, it's the Odetta Show.
It is
coming up next at 9 o'clock on the
Odetta
Folk Show.
Odetta Holmes.
And
incredible.
Tomorrow, North Idaho News of the Week. Tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Who's going to be with you?
I don't know. Well, somebody will.
Okay.
I got to read the paper. See who's got the best story. And then tune in next week. For one thing, on the Monday morning, you got Medical Musings with Dr. Joanne talking about bully prevention awareness with the superintendent, Dr. Becky Meyer of Lake Monterey School District, and Joshua Barnes. And then on Monday night, special here on KRFY at 5:30 is the Candidates Forum. That's from 5:30 probably till about 7, and that's all the candidates for city council here in the city of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. There's 3 seats open, 4 are running for those seats. I think actually only 3 of the candidates are going to be able to make it.
That's important. That's an important role that KRFY provides to the community.
Yeah.
Learn to know your candidates.
So, yes, talking about what the issue is important to city council. You'll meet some of the candidates for city council, and there will also be presentations on the wastewater treatment bond that'll be on the ballot and the Pondere local option tax, both items going to be on your ballots in November. So come and learn, ask questions, and our own Chris Bessler will be moderating the
cool
event. That'll do it for us this
Jack,
morning.
Jack, it's good to be back. I'm glad that I can take care of your lonesomeness.
Yes, it is
and
so
we do
nice.
Want to thank Carrie Logan for subbing for me.
She came in on what day was
well,
that?
She came in on the 26th of September.
It was nice to have her.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's always welcome.
Time now for Bird Note here on 88.5.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Rockin' Robin.
It's 88.5 KRFY Pondere.